News Talk KVEC San Luis Obispo.
Six oh seven on the Central Coast. It is Tuesday, September 10th, 2019. I'm Dave Congleton. Thanks for joining us. Craig Hill continues on a well-deserved vacation. He'll be gone all this week, all next week. I'm very pleased to have the one, the only, Kurt Olson filling in for Craig. This hour, we talk about the National Rifle Association. This story broke while I was away on vacation, but now there's a new twist. The NRA is responding to the city of San Francisco. They are filing a lawsuit. And this, of course, stems from the original action by the San Francisco Board of Supervisors to label the NRA as a domestic terrorist organization. Always good to have Matt Hoy on this broadcast. His website is restrictedarms.com. He joins us now. Mr. Hoy, how are you?
Good to be here, Dave.
You must be shocked by San Francisco.
I'm not. Well, here's my take on it. Is I am impressed that amid all the NRA's financial troubles, and they say they're in financial troubles, that the Board of Supervisors of San Francisco has decided to transfer tens of thousands of dollars in lawyers' fees to the NRA.
I would also think it would help their fundraising campaign.
Oh, I'm sure.
We're under attack. Got to help us.
It probably does, and the Board of Supervisors, they are going to lose this. They are going to pay at least tens and possibly hundreds of thousands of dollars in lawyers' fees to the NRA. It's criminally stupid, you know, considering that there's at least one app that, you know, if you go to San Francisco, is a must-have to install on your phone, and that's where all the feces are on the streets.
Oh, dear. What's the backstory? Do we have any idea why San Francisco decided to do this?
Well, I think some of it's just, you know, this is the you know, making political disagreements into criminal or legal disagreements. I mean, because it's a domestic, you're calling them a domestic terrorist organization,
right?
And that's ridiculous. One thing that, as I was researching this last week, one thing that jumped out at me that I didn't see anybody report on is that the member of the Board of Supervisors who brought this thing forward, who sponsored this, and what's her name? Catherine Stefani. If you go to her bio on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors site, she basically you know, her big thing is she is a member of Moms Demand Action, and she's a spokesperson for them. And okay, you know, if that's what you're gonna, you know, that's where she's coming from. But I don't see why nobody bothered to mention that. So she's doing, you know, some of her outside advocacy she's bringing into her full-time job, which is, you know, I guess fine. But you know, this is going to cost. San Francisco is going to lose.
The board essentially said in a September 3rd resolution, San Francisco should, quote, take every reasonable step to limit any vendors and contractors with which it does business from also doing business with the NRA. It also said it is urging other cities, states, and the federal government to do the same.
And that's where they got in trouble. That's the key legal trouble. The government can't do that. We've already had cases. There was a case, this was back in March. It was a case in the Central District of California regarding a business called Riley's American Heritage Farms. And what it is it's kind of like Colonial Williamsburg back east, where, you know, this is how people lived around this time and whatnot. And local school districts would bring their, you know, would bring students on field trips to visit this farm and get an idea of what it was like. And completely unrelated, the owner of the farm, you know, goes on Facebook and he's a Trump supporter and he doesn't like certain things. And so the school board went and said, well, we're not sending our kids to your business anymore. And a judge in the Central District of California basically said, you're not allowed to do that as a government agency. You cannot discriminate against people based on, you know, expressing their constitutionally protected First Amendment views. And, you know, that school district lost that case. L.A. has done a similar thing. It's also being sued by the NRA, where L.A. has said basically that if you have a contract with the city and you have contributed to the NRA, you must disclose it. That's all they've said. You have to disclose it.
Now, where are we? Explain, please, how this works with the mayor, because apparently the mayor Breed, has not signed the resolution.
She has 10 days, is my understanding. This was passed last Tuesday, so we're on day 7. So she's got until Friday to either veto it, sign it, or if she does neither of those things. I believe if she does neither of those things, it's the same as vetoing it. Or no, I'm not sure. It may become law without. I'm not sure if they've got a pocket veto in San Francisco or not. But she's got to make a decision one way or another. If she was smart and wanted to kind of save the Board of Supervisors from themselves and save the taxpayers of San Francisco some money rather than, you know, get the feel-good going on, she should veto it.
Here's the definition. Well, I mean, what exactly is a domestic terrorist? Under current U.S. law, this comes from the U.S. Patriot Act. Acts of domestic terrorism are those which, A, involve acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of the criminal laws of the U.S., B, appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, occur primarily within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States. This doesn't sound like the NRA to me. I'm not a member. I don't have any agenda here.
Right. Well, it's not. It's what they imagine. Again, it's you disagree with us, so we are going to punish you.
Yeah.
And it's frankly sad that you've got a unanimous vote to basically shred the First Amendment, because this is exactly what the First Amendment is supposed to protect. Yeah. It's supposed to protect the people being able to, to associate freely with others who they want to associate with, and to speak on issues before the government. And, you know, whether you agree with the NRA or not, their speech is political. And, you know, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors resolution says, among other things, the National Rifle Association musters its considerable wealth and organizational strength to promote gun ownership. Okay, that's fine. And incite gun owners to acts of violence. Really?
Yeah.
Can anybody on that Board of Supervisors point to somewhere where they've incited gun owners to acts of violence?
I know you don't speak for the NRA.
Right.
But I would imagine that if the mayor chooses not to sign the resolution and rejects it, there'd be no basis for the lawsuit. Or would there be?
I think this lawsuit would go away. I've read through it. This lawsuit focuses mainly on the very last page of the Board of Supervisors resolution, where, again, they want to stop people from doing business with the NRA. They want to stop doing business with people who do business with the NRA.
It makes you wonder what the city or county attorney, Howard, works in San Francisco, what they were thinking, because they sit in the meetings and they usually comment on resolutions and legislation, try and save them
from themselves.
That's their job. You would think somebody would said, you know, this may not be a good idea.
You know, sometimes you just can't stop the crazy.
But it is San Francisco. All right, Matt Hoy on this broadcast. Check out his website, restrictedarms.com. This story is ratcheting up. The NRA essentially fired back this week. They are suing the city of San Francisco. We're trying to label them as a domestic terrorist organization. We'll welcome your phone calls, talk more about the NRA. I'm Dave Congleton. You're listening to AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk.
KVEC.
You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Good to be with you. Good to have Matt Hoy on this broadcast. Check out his website, restrictedarms.com. We're talking about the National Rifle Association and their ongoing slugfest with the city of San Francisco. Last week, San Francisco voted to label the NRA as a domestic terrorist organization. This week, the NRA has fired back. They're suing. And the bottom line is the mayor hasn't decided whether or not to sign the resolution yet. She may not. She has until Friday. But it's a mess. We welcome your phone calls, by the way, always. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. I mean, you may not be fans of the NRA. Maybe you are. But even if you're not a fan of the National Rifle Association, do you really believe that they are a domestic terrorist organization? And I don't know what, personally, I don't know what's accomplished by that. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. And I guess I'm in agreement with you, Matt, that regardless of the intention of the city of San Francisco, this is going to backfire. And if it's at all possible to make the NRA into a sympathetic cause, this is it. You know, like, really?
Yeah. And the kicker is this case, you know, we're going to call the NRA a domestic terrorist organization. This came a week after that the same board of supervisors wanted to change words like felon, offender, convict, and parolee. They should be changed to formerly incarcerated person. A parolee would be a person under supervision.
Wow.
A convict would be a currently incarcerated person.
Let's hear from Sean in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Sean.
I think labeling them as a domestic terrorist group is, I think you'd actually have a better argument calling San Francisco, the city of San Francisco, committing domestic terrorism by allowing the homeless, the needles, the poop, and the pee to be on the streets, and they don't do anything about it and continue to increase the problem there. I think that's more dangerous than calling the NRA. I mean, what they're calling the NRA makes no sense to me at all. The NRA aren't the people out there shooting people and killing people. It's a mental illness problem, and San Francisco supports mental illness. So I think San Francisco is more so than they are.
Well, and interesting, Matt, there's no link between the NRA and San Francisco, right? I mean, has that not been a mass shooter?
Well, that's the thing. They always blame the NRA for mass shooters, and there hasn't been a single mass shooter who's been a member of the NRA. I mean, you would have heard about it, and you never have. The NRA members are probably among the most law-abiding members of the society, frankly. You get them and concealed carriers. I think they've done studies in Texas, and people with a concealed carry license are less likely to commit a crime than police officers.
Sean, what else do you want to say?
I just feel like I think that's right. I mean, I think labeling someone as a domestic terrorist, I don't know. I think the argument of Antifa being considered terrorists, domestic terrorists, or a threat to society is again another better argument. It's just funny that we are getting this is. Hello?
Yes. Yeah, you're here. We're listening.
Oh, sorry, I heard a weird sound.
That was Kurt.
I'm just trying to compare the parallels and what is worse. I mean, if you just put the points together here, and I think that's all anyone has to look at.
I'm glad you called, Sean. Thank you. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Gary's in Aurora Grande on KBEC for Matt Hoy. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
I think San Francisco is attempting to deflect attention away from their incompetence in dealing with the homeless population. Having said that, I was a 25-year member of the NRA, gave them a lot of money, resigned over two issues. One was they opposed the no-fly, no-buy initiative, which said if you're a suspected terrorist and your risk is sufficiently high enough so that they're not going to let you on an airplane, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun, and they opposed that. The second reason was they opposed giving the general population hollow point bullets. And before I retired from law enforcement, I wore a ballistic vest, and those rounds would have could pierce my vest and hurt me or worse. And I thought it was unreasonable that they opposed both initiatives, which I thought were fairly common sense.
Well, I personally disagree with you on both. Hollow point bullets don't tend to go through body armor. I mean, they're designed to hit and expand. People generally, the general consensus is both law enforcement and people wishing to defend themselves will use hollow point bullets because they won't go through the person. You hit the person you're aiming for.
Mr. Hoy, easy for you to say if you're not required to wear one because your job is a law enforcement officer. And frankly, I didn't want to put my life on the line trusting that my government-issued vest was going to stop a hollow point round.
Well, a hollow point round is more likely to be stopped than a ball round. I mean, I'm not sure Dave cares here, so we're getting a little in the weeds as far as ballistics. But as far as taking your other point, the no-fly list, I think the reason why the NRA opposed that was who knows how you get on the list. And if you're on the list, there was absolutely no way for you to get off. At one point, Ted Kennedy was on the list. At one point, Stephen Hayes, who was a reporter for the Weekly Standard at the time, was on the list, and Steve Hayes only got off the list because he was a regular guest on Special Report with Britt Hume, and they kept on asking every single Department of Justice person who came on is, why is this reporter for a conservative magazine on the no-fly list? It's just insane. I think the NRA would probably be fine with putting those people on the list if there was, A, a way of finding out you were on it, and be a way of getting yourself off it legally. And right now, there isn't.
Gary, what else from you?
That's it. Thanks for the opportunity, Dave.
All right. And Gary, is that why you retired?
Well, no, that's not why I retired. That's why I resigned from the NRA.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. What's the status with the NRA? I read things in the mainstream media, financial challenges.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that's true. I am still a life member of the NRA. I'm still a member. I haven't resigned my membership. However, I did get a call this weekend from somebody wanting to raise money for the NRA, wanting me to up my membership level. And I told them personally, I will not give the NRA, a national organization, another dime until Wayne LaPierre is gone.
Why?
I think he's corrupt.
Why?
I think he's been spending. I think he's been using the NRA as his own personal piggy bank, and he's been, paying for an intern's apartment in D.C. He's been flying, people first class or charter. Who, give me a break. I'd rather you spend that money on lobbying, on media, on lawsuits, than making sure. And there was even a thing where they were going to do this weird thing where they were going to give this money to a company so Wayne LaPierre could buy a $7 million mansion in Texas.
Matt Hoy is with us from restrictedarms.com. We're talking about the National Rifle Association. More of your phone calls still to come. We got news, we got traffic, we've got weather. This is the Dave Constant Show. Don't forget to start your weekday mornings off with First Look. Andy Morris and Scott Taylor have you covered with everything you need to know to get you out the door from 6 to 9, followed by Mr. Rush Limbaugh from 9 until noon, followed by the Mark Wilson Show, which kicks off at 12 noon, goes all the way to 2 p.m. Scott Taylor sitting in for the vacation in Craig Hill. And then we give you a little dose of Dave Ramsey, and then Kurt and I will be back with you at 3:05 with a Wednesday edition. And I know for sure Kevin Harris is going to join us from Slow Little Theater. The new production is fantastic. I believe we'll have some free tickets to give away. We're continuing our conversation with the regular contributor, Matt Hoy. His website is restrictedarms.com, restrictedarms.com. We're talking about the National Rifle Association. We're inviting your phone calls. That's just one basic question. I'm curious what you think about the NRA. 805-543-8830.
No.
800-549-5832. No. I'm sure you've been following the story. Last week, the city of San Francisco declared the NRA as a domestic terrorist organization. Even I'm trying to figure that one out. Now, this week, the NRA has fired back. They're suing the city. And people are trying to figure out what the mayor is going to do. Matt Hoy and I are in agreement that this is an unwise policy on the part of the city of San Francisco, unless they got money to blow that we don't know about. So that's what we're talking about. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. We invite your participation in this conversation. And we're also talking about the NRA in general. They seem to be facing some financial challenges. That's been going on for about a year.
That's what they say. And part of it is the state of New York is kind of investigating them, and who knows what's going to come out of that.
But how does that work? Because the article I read, the NRA is blaming New York for cracking down on them.
Well, first off, you know, it looks bad because, you know, the New York Attorney General is a Democrat and is basically, you know, has made comments which would tend to call into question, I believe it's a her, objectivity in the whole matter, and which makes this seem possibly like a more of a witch hunt. You've had Chris, I might get it right, Cuomo, is it Mari? Which Cuomo is the
Andrew Cuomo.
Andrew.
Chris Cuomo is the news anchor.
News anchor, and Mario's his late father.
Late father.
So Andrew Cuomo has basically, you know, told banks in New York, well, you may not want to associate yourself with the NRA. It might look bad and, you know, wouldn't want anything to happen to your banking license here in the state of New York. So maybe you want to reconsider any relationship you've got with the NRA. Nice bank there. Shame something happened to it. Which, you know, maybe that's New York politics, but it shouldn't be the way it is. And, you know, the NRA's had problems because there's been reporting into their finances, and, you know, it's too much of a piggy bank for Wayne LaPierre.
But you yourself just said that you're concerned about Wayne LaPierre.
Yeah.
You said that he's corrupt.
I think he's corrupt. I think he's, you know, as far as I can tell, he's corrupt, and they're not going to get another dime from me until he's gone.
But you still believe in the NRA?
I believe it's an indispensable organization for those who value the Second Amendment and gun rights. If I'm looking to give money right now in order to help defend gun rights, any money I'd give would go to the California Rifle and Pistol Association, which is the state kind of affiliate of the NRA, but its finances are completely separate. Chuck Michel is the head of that, and he's a lawyer, stand-up guy as far as I can tell and everything I've heard, and they are filing quite a few lawsuits in this state to try and, you know, defend gun rights, and I can see the money going there, and that's what I would prefer money be spent on rather than first-class flights for Wayne LaPierre or apartments for 22-year-old female college interns.
Welcome to your phone calls for Matt Hoy. Phone lines are open at 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Check out Matt's website at restrictedarms.com. We're talking about the National Rifle Association, whether or not they are a domestic terrorist organization. Not even I think that they are. All right, and I've never been a fan of the NRA, but I just don't understand what San Francisco is trying to do. And I think that this is going to blow up in their face. And I agree with Matt that this could probably cost them some money in court, but we'll see where that goes. And I'm assuming that the backlash is coming from people's frustration with the mass shootings. And they're trying to hold the NRA accountable.
That's what the resolution that the San Francisco Board of Supervisors promoted or adopted said. You know, it referred to the mass shootings this past month in Gilroy and not the Odessa one. The Odessa one, I don't think.
El Paso, Dayton.
And Dayton. And, you know, and it says that the NRA is inciting these. The NRA isn't inciting these. You know, the NRA, it does, you know, advocate for Second Amendment rights, but it also spends quite a bit of money teaching gun safety. And over the past 20 years, if you look at accidental firearm deaths, they've gone down dramatically. And, you know, that's more of that's because of what the NRA has been doing than it is for, you know, the Brady Center or Gifford's Law or Moms Demand Action. I was actually looking at a magazine earlier this month, Concealed Carry Magazine, and they had a feature on gun safety. And it was, you know, the rules of gun safety, you know, treat every firearm as though it's loaded. Don't point the firearm at something you're not willing to destroy. Keep your finger off the trigger until you're on target. Know what your target is and what's beyond it. And so they had the NRA's rules. They had the Marine Corps' rules, some other organizations' rules. And then down at the bottom, I thought it was really funny. I said, we asked Giffords and Brady and Moms Demand Action for their gun safety rules. They promote themselves as gun safety organizations, and they haven't published any. Their gun safety rules are ban guns, which...
Well, yeah, that's what they want.
But that's not what they say they want. I mean, it's interesting what's... And the thing that troubles me is I think the NRA is really... It's handicapped itself right now because we're in a political moment where 2 years ago, I can remember people telling me, you know, you're paranoid. The government isn't coming for your guns. Okay. There, you know, no one's talking about taking your firearms away. Well, Beto O'Rourke, one of the top 10, you know, Democratic candidates.
Oh, I'm not sure he's at the top 10 anymore. At one point, he was.
He's one of the, you know, we're going to come door to door. We're taking your guns away. Kamala Harris, we're going to do a registry. We're going to buy back your guns, which I wish the media would stop using that term, you know, mandatory buyback. Because
why is that wrong?
Well, no one bought their guns from the government, so they can't buy them back. It's compensated confiscation, is what it is.
So you get money for if you want to give it up, get money for your gun.
If I want to give it up, they're not saying if I want to give it up. They're saying it's going to be mandatory, and if not, I'll be breaking the law. And that's coming for my guns, right?
Yeah, but back at the NRA, they still clearly have influence over President Trump, because one day he'll say, "Well, I'm thinking about this." And then he gets a call or a meeting, and then again, not.
I have a feeling too often that President Trump goes with whoever he last talked to, and it changes day to day. Yes, you know, they're looking at universal background checks. They're looking at these red flag laws. Curiously, you know, the red flag laws, you have this situation down in Long Beach with the hotel guy.
Tell the story.
Because there was a cook in a hotel or something who was planning on, you know, attacking the hotel. He was mad. Police found, you know, 15 guns at his house, arrested him, because he voiced this desire to shoot up, you know, his place of employ and its guests. And it didn't require a red flag law. They didn't use the red flag law. They used existing law. You know, here he made a terrorist threat. Okay, we're going to arrest him. We're going to execute a search warrant. It didn't require the red flag law.
Off the Stolberg Law KBC text line, this follows up on that. Guest wants to know what you think about waiting periods. Should there be mandatory waiting periods?
I don't. The National Instant Criminal Check System is instant for 99% of people who go in to buy a gun. If you go to buy a gun in Washington State or Oregon or Nevada or Arizona or about 40 some odd states, they run your background check. If you're clear, here's the gun. The California Rifle Pistol Association recently filed a lawsuit. It's right now, they've appealed it. It's sitting before the Ninth Circuit. And they wanted to, you know, in California, it's a 10-day wait, okay? You fill out the paperwork. You've got to wait 10 days, so that's 240 hours. to pick up the firearm. And the idea is supposedly that this is a cooling off period. You know, if you're angry, maybe think about it. If you're depressed and considering suicide, maybe you'll think about it, and the 10 days will kind of stop you. The lawsuit that was filed by the California Rifle Pistol Association said, well, that's fine if it's your first firearm. But if I've already got a handgun and a shotgun at home, the 10-day waiting period does next to nothing. And the state of California has a gun registry. They know if you've got a handgun, at least if you bought it since 2001. They know if you've got a rifle, if you've bought it since 2014. And what's the purpose of a cooling off period, if you've already got a gun? And they ended up losing that at the district court level. They've sued over that. I don't think I worry about, you know, situations where you've got a woman who is trying to get out of an abusive relationship with a boyfriend or a husband or something like that, and the husband's threatened her, and she needs a gun now to defend herself. And now you're going to make her wait 10 days. In New Jersey, and I mentioned this before, there was a case a couple of years back of a woman named Carol Bone, B-O-W-N-E. She had applied for a license to purchase a firearm. In New Jersey, it's even worse than it is here. Here, you just have to wait 10 days. In New Jersey, you've got to get a license before you can buy it. And the state law says that you've got to apply to the local police chief, and that he's got 30 days to decide. Well, in New Jersey, they often go past 30 days. They go past 60 days. She had asked for it. She was well past the 30 days. They hadn't, you know, okayed her for it. And her ex-boyfriend came and stabbed her to death in her driveway. And New Jersey hadn't allowed her to have a gun.
We're here with Matt Hoy. His website is restrictedarms.com. We're talking about the National Rifle Association and the lawsuit they filed this week against the city of San Francisco. We'll come back for a final segment. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio on AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC.
Whoa, it's like the tour of the summer, bro.
KVEC, News Talk 920, and FM 96.5.
Top of the hour is ABC Radio News. I'm Dave Congleton. We're in our final segment with Matt Hoy from RestrictedArms.com. We're just talking a little bit about the National Rifle Association, their ongoing battles with the city of San Francisco. If you want in on the conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. I think it's a basic fundamental question, given all the events of the last couple of years. What do you think of the National Rifle Association? Do you agree with the city of San Francisco that they're a domestic terrorist organization? Are you a proud member of the NRA? Or are you like Mr. Hoy? You're a little bit on the fence, it sounds like.
Well,
because of Lafayette.
I don't like the current leadership. I think they're spending money in unwise ways, at the very least, maybe self-dealing ways. But I think the organization itself is kind of a necessary one for gun rights.
Off the Stolberg KVC text line, David Herrera Grande is saying, my dad would not let me buy not even a Ranger BB rifle until I took the NRA course when I was 9 years old in 1952.
They've been doing it for a long time. They've been teaching gun safety for a long, long time.
But then they became gun advocates.
In the 70s, I think they were kind of forced into it, frankly. You know, you had a move afoot to kind of eviscerate the Second Amendment. And it was, you know, you had people who were just hunters and just wanted to make sure that their bolt-action hunting rifle stayed legal. And there were others that, you know, hey, I live in a bad part of town. I need to have a handgun to protect myself. And there was a battle basically between those two views, and the side that basically said, hey, the Second Amendment is about self-protection against criminals, against a tyrannical government that won out.
805-543-8830. Or call us at the toll-free number, 800-549-5832. It's as simple as that. Let's talk about the National Rifle Association. Last area, you were on over the summer, July 1st, new law went into California,
right,
on ammo background. Yeah. How's that working out?
They've been sued over it. California Rifle Pistol Association has sued the state of California over that. They had a hearing about 3 weeks after the – 3 or 4 weeks after the background check had been in effect. And basically, you know, anyone listening out there, if you've tried to buy ammo and you're legally allowed to buy ammo and have had problems, go to crpa.org. They've got a questionnaire there. They're trying to get some data on this. So a month in, they had a hearing before a judge. Frankly, it's the same judge that basically said, you know, three or four months ago that the state's ban on high-capacity magazines was illegal. So that same judge got this case. So that's kind of promising for the California Rifle Pistol Association.
But allow me to know, can't you just go to Nevada and buy ammunition? Can't you go to Arizona?
Yeah, you can, but it's illegal under California state law to bring it back here.
Yeah, but they can still do it, right?
Well, but again, is that a loophole or are you violating the law? You're violating the law if you do that. And so Attorney General Xavier Becerra said that over the first 30 days or so, they had stopped more than 100 people who were prohibited possessors from buying ammunition. I'm not clear who those people were and whether they really were prohibited possessors, because that's a pretty high percentage. That's higher even than buying guns. So you suspect they may have some names wrong, people with the same name, different birthdays, that sort of thing. So there may be some misidentification there. They also said that they stopped about 60,000 other purchases. And
well, the law must be working.
Well, the problem is they didn't say those people were prohibited possessors. They stopped 60,000, including active law enforcement officers were stopped from buying ammunition. And the reason why, and this was brought up in court, was the way they set up the system was they want proof that you've purchased a gun or that you've got a certificate of eligibility or something like that. So they run through that and they see, okay, you know, when you bought this gun, you know, 5 years ago, were you at the same address? Does the address match up? If it's street versus ST period, that is a no match and it will kick it back. So they'll do that. But then once they run through that, they've got this other list of people who are prohibited. And they'll run it through that and say, oh, no, you're prohibited. We're not going to let you buy ammo. And the question is, why don't they just run it against that second list? Because that would certainly clear a whole lot more people through. And you wouldn't get this little, you know, database issue. The other thing that came out of that hearing that was very interesting was it was brought up. You know, you mentioned Californians going and buying ammo in Nevada.
Sure. That's the easiest thing to do.
But illegal.
Yeah, but when I lived in Utah, you can only buy beer that was 3-2 beer.
Right.
What would you do? You'd drive an hour and a half to Evanston, Wyoming, and you load up on the beer and you'd bring it back. I'm sure that was illegal, but everybody did it.
Yeah. Well, and again, I don't like just ignoring laws.
Right.
So the other thing that happened with that is the way California is running it. If you are not a California resident, if you do not have a California driver's license, you cannot buy ammo here in California. So if you're visiting from Nevada or you're visiting from Arizona, you can't buy ammo here. You can bring in ammo, unlike a Californian, but you can't buy it here. And so that was brought up at the hearing, and the attorney for the state government said, well, they should just get someone, their friend from California, to buy their ammo for them. And it's like, wait a second. Now you're telling somebody to buy ammo for someone who can't buy it themselves. When that comes to firearms, that's called a straw purchase, and it's a felony, and you can see jail time for it. But the system is so screwed up, it's like, oh, just, you know, if you need to get around our system, you know, just have someone who can buy the ammo for you, buy it for you, and transfer it to you illegally.
We got about 2 minutes. Is will guns be an issue in the presidential campaign?
I think they will. I think they will.
I mean, in the general, like,
I think they will.
Trump versus blank.
Yeah, I think there'll be a debate. I think there'll be a debate because the Democrats want a debate. I think it'll be part of the debate because the media wants it to be part of the debate. I certainly think we're going to be talking about, you know, universal background checks, assault weapons bans. I'm not sure. And frankly, it may get Trump reelected.
How so?
Well, those swing states that Democrats need, you know, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Florida, those sorts of states, I'm not sure are going to trust the Democrats that, you know, especially when they say, yes, we're going to confiscate your firearms. And, you know, you can win massively here in California. You can win the popular vote total, but that's not how the game is played. You need to win the Electoral College. You need those swing states.
Well, Matt Hoy puts the other final thought. I will quickly thank our litany of guests today, including Kristen Holland and Alyssa Madrin, and Lonnie Collier and Laura Neeson, and Christine Johnson and Dr. Nikki Adams, and Jennifer Martin, and Dr. Sam Blakesley and Kara Woodruff, and Matt Hoy, whose website is restrictedarms.com. Final thoughts, Mr. Hoy.
I think we do a really great disservice to the dialogue in our country when we call people who we disagree with on policy objectives, for whatever it is, terrorists. And attempting to use the government to take away people's livelihoods because they hold an opinion that you disagree with, I think should be out of bounds, and I would hope that people on both sides of the political spectrum would agree to that.
All right, Matt, thank you very much for your time. Thanks to Kurt Olson for filling in for Craig Hill, and thanks to you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:05. I'm Dave Congleton. Now, Oliver the Cat, get out of my chair. I'm coming home. Good night.